Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hates jeans.
I love jeans.
I'm just saying, who hates them?
I used to not really be partial to jeans. I preferred shorts.
But what about
jorts? I realize this is made of jeans.
Yeah, I'm wearing the best of both worlds.
It's like, yeah.
I'm wearing shorts all of 2010.
Fancy. Is that your plan?
That's my goal.
It's like culottes.
Oh, is this recording okay?
Yeah, sure is.
Is it sounding all right?
Much better.
I don't know. I wore slacks in high school for a little bit because I wanted, to be like an Uber
that
nerd.
Guy.
Yeah, because I got glasses and I was like, well, that's
Did
it.
You wear a hat?
No, it wasn't allowed. What got too hot?
The man.
Yeah, there's a lot of things changed after Columbine.
I was really excited in college when I could wear a hat in class.
Really?
Like that was like, oh shit.
Different hat all the time.
I went to like all boys Catholic school, so there were Ouch. Loads of dress requirements.
Yeah, we had like polo shirts and slacks, and you needed a belt you needed to tuck in.
Yeah.
And I hated it because it's like tucking in my shirt like I was like a big kid, so it's just like it just made tucking in a shirt makes you look so much bigger.
Yeah. And also there was the Velcro ass flap that weren't
I always opted for the, we had a sweater vest we could wear if we wanted to. I always opted for the sweater vest.
Let's move this a little closer.
Are you hearing everyone okay, Matthew?
Well, now you're just
haven't heard Allison talking.
I know.
That's fine.
No, I just love these water bottles. And what? I lose them all the time.
Hey, it's a Mad Men water bottle.
I've circulated. I've gone through all of my water bottles, and now I'm down to my Mad Men water bottle.
But
I don't like to carry it around usually because, exactly, I don't
now,
want people to think.
Not to be,
hey, check me out.
Not to be picky, but that water bottle doesn't look very 60s to me.
No, it doesn't.
They clearly had these in the 60s. This material, everything. Yeah.
Actually, that looks like
they had a little like carabiner, so I could put it on my belt loop.
It actually looks like some kind of explosive device that they would send over to Charlie later in the '60s.
Good,
totally.
Well, our guest today is Allison Brie of the two hit shows.
What?
The Mad Men Comedy Hour
and
Web Soup. That's right. And now, so Web Soup led to a part on Community. So you can't say things like that because people on Twitter will be like, technically, it did not end. Like, God damn it.
Sorry.
It's true. You did say something like that on Twitter. You were like, Web Soup, which led to The Soup. Or like, The Soup, which came out of Web Soup. And all these people were like, that is not a fact.
I know.
Everyone knows we came from
Talk. I got all these condescending tweets like, actually, there was Talk Soup in the 90s, hun. Like, I didn't fucking know that. I tried to get Kinnear's job after he left, I couldn't.
Hun is like none more condescending a term than hun.
Hun, yeah.
It's like a pat on the head should be,
They might as well say retard. Or animal instead, as opposed to hun.
You're an animal.
Oh, animal, you trying to compute this complex world around you filled with ideas.
Listen, I'm just a caveman. I was frozen in some ice.
Caveman lawyer. Caveman lawyer. So, Allison Brie, I'm thrilled to have you on Web Soup because when you came on Attack of the Show, Kevin interviewed you, and you were so goddamn funny.
Thank you. I would like to think that Kevin had a lot to do with that, you know? He's really good at generating chemistry with people.
He is. He's excellent. He's excellent at generating chemistry. However...
Although his chemistry with me is pretty astronomical.
It's good. is there a love connection here in the works?
Well, I mean, I don't want to... I mean, I don't know. Fan people are going to go crazy. But he did propose to me on the show.
He
the
did.
First time that I came by.
He did.
I hope you like playing Rock Band for the rest of your life.
He does have a nice...
In the works.
I hope you like a $6,000 gaming cabinet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The electric drum set is pretty cool, though.
It is. I saw... He showed me pictures of this. He had this, like, custom gaming cabinet. And I'm like, shit, that's...
Yeah. He's still my heart. That's what did it for me, really.
Yeah, right there.
Derek Waters has one of those that he, like, had a friend make. Where it's just like a computer inside of an old like cabinet that you can just play like any kind of video game ever.
Wow. Yeah,
that's a dream.
That really is a dream.
Living the dream.
It's going back to the old days when technology was clunky and difficult to move around.
Yeah. I loved those days.
But you told this great story on Attack of the Show. You said you used to play in college this game called, was it Knock Knock My Butt?
Knock Knock It's My Butt, which... I hadn't
planned. Chris, get it right.
Sorry.
Yeah, first of all, I hadn't planned on telling that story there. It kind of just came out because we were talking about college. And I guess I've been a little loose-lipped about my college days and certain, like, interesting things that have happened there.
Which, yeah, we'll get to that.
Which I always, you know, when I say them in a what I think is a humorous context and I just think everyone's going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I mean it to be gotten,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't always happen.
you were giving the internet entirely too much credit to recognize subtle humor and irony
humor,
and things.
Yeah.
They will take everything you say
at face value. It's very bizarre. But that game I actually did play, which I thought was really funny, because you know you just well at theater school you just have these doors. That you can use in scenes when you need to, like, enter a room or leave.
This is like some sort of Hogwarts for actors?
Magic doors.
Do you get the letter when you're 11? You're like, you're an actor!
I did.
And it's brought to you by a guy in owl makeup.
I always knew.
Ooh!
He's just sweating beads of sweat over the makeup.
Yes.
Why?
Just talk to us.
Yeah, so people got a kick out of the game. It's not like I played it all the time.
When
I did, man.
Now I'm a little fuzzy on the details. How did it go?
Well, I would pull down my pants to reveal my butt.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I'd knock on the door and someone would have to answer it. It would be like, I wouldn't say knock knock. I'd literally knock on the door twice. And then a person would open it and it would just be my butt. That's literally all that happened
that,
in this so-called game. It wasn't so much game as like entertainment pre-class starting. Like the teacher's not there yet, and I would be like, "What a great opportunity to show my ass to all my friends."
It really will spruce up a Henry Miller piece. You know? Or
how many
it's like
guys
right before we did
it,
Chekhov.
How many guys tried it, and how many of those guys were arrested?
You know, no other guys really. Nobody else really participated in the game. People loved being the person to open the door, but nobody really.
But you're not looking at butt holes. You're just looking at just sort of
no,
general
it's like
butt
crack,
meat.
Like upper crack and cheeks.
Uh huh.
I'd say.
Nice.
And I also did a good pregnant stomach.
You could distend your...
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's nice.
Which was awesome, because I wasn't like, large in college, so it always looked really cool, like, actually pregnant.
Well, I guess you
and
don't have to...
And there was a guy that did that with me. We have photos.
I guess you don't have to do that, because Pete Campbell's sterile, from what I understand.
It's true.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Bringing that shit up.
Nuts.
How do you... Because we had John Hamm on the episode, and then we had Joel on this episode, on another episode.
Yes, yeah.
So we've had... Two of your co-stars.
It's like the connection.
It is.
It's all coming together right now.
This is like the last season of Lost. It's really everyone's.
Well, I don't. But I don't. But
all
I,
questions will be answered today. But not really.
Allison Brie, I really want people to understand what you know. This idea of you doing these two shows that are both really successful. What it's like to work in this business is, first of all, it's hard enough to get a job.
True.
Then it's hard enough to keep that job. Then it's hard enough to make sure that job gets picked up. which means, you know, goes to air. Then it's hard enough to make sure the show stays on the air. Then, on top of that, if you get past all of those hurdles, the fact that the show might be good is really incidental.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're on two of the best shows on television, and one's a comedy and one's a drama, is remarkable to me.
I mean, gee, Chris, when you put it like that, I feel really proud of myself.
You should.
I mean, God, I'm so much better than this podcast.
Wait, oh, I should have brought that out at the end. Gotta keep her down now. So you're working on those two.
No, it's crazy. I do feel really insanely lucky all the time because it is, you're right, it's a total crapshoot. And it's not like I'd love to take credit for it. Like, oh yes, I have very high standards and I chose Mad Men and then I chose Community. But that's not really always how it goes. You're really just like, ooh, God, I hope I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
Shipmates.
What's like, what's neat though,
I don't
is
really
that like
do
you
that.
Get shipmates. For you as a performer, you get to like do two different types of like, you know, like roles like,
yeah.
at the same time.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, my point is like when I auditioned for Mad Men, I didn't know what the show was going to be like. It hadn't started airing yet, so it was. The script seemed great. They wouldn't release anything about it. And they were sort of like, you know, it might just be this one episode. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't even hear back from them for a couple of weeks. And Matt Weiner told me later that I didn't really get the part originally. Well, he said, you know, they did a whole casting session and then they did a whole nother casting session because the director of that episode was like, I don't think we found Trudy yet. And then a couple weeks later, they still hadn't found her. And Matt Weiner was like, let's bring the tapes back out, as he tells it. Bring the tapes back out. Who was that Brie girl?
Yeah.
So, it was me, baby.
So basically, the second round of girls just failed harder.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's pure luck. But
no, you're phenomenal on the show, by the way. Like that
to
character.
To my credit, I stayed on the show, and Trudy sort of, you know.
Trudy is such a great character, and especially that moment when you go out of town and Pete fucks the girl and fucks the nanny next door. And then just that weird moment where you realize what happened and her character is just like, nope, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Clearly, Trudy is going to have some sort of a Betty Draper breakdown at some point.
I don't know.
Yeah, she was making sandwiches in the last season finale.
That's
true. I got sandwiches for everybody.
Don't fuck them, Pete. Try not to fuck the sandwiches. I won't leave you or anything, but just don't fuck them because they're
actually,
fresh.
What's the worst that could happen if you fuck a sandwich? Can't get them pregnant.
It's true. They write Trudy really well, that she is sort of... She really wants the marriage to work, I think. To her credit, she's a very determined woman.
Right.
You know, and she can be sort of manipulative and trying to make... I think in the first season, I felt like, oh, Trudy's so awesome. Like, she manipulated him into getting this apartment right away. Like, she always gets her way. Yeah. And then, like, very quickly learned that that was not going to be the case at all. Which kind of makes her more endearing, I think. Because... You know, she sticks with him, even though he's horrible.
Mm. Because you must pretty much go Community, and that goes on hiatus, you go right into Mad Men. Or is there overlapping?
There was, you know, last season, the overlap going into Mad Men, there is not one. But last season, coming out of Mad Men, Community started about a month. We still had a month left of shooting for Mad Men when we started Community. Mm-hmm. There it is. I got that sentence. Yes. I came around. You know, I took a couple laps.
We were all waiting for it.
That was a good. That was a Carrie Strug style dismount there. But I stuck it.
Finish the sentence, Carrie.
So yeah, there was about a month of overlap, to say it plainly, and it was awesome because it really felt. Like, you know, as an actor, you want to be busy and have stuff going on. And it was kind of cool to go to Community in the morning and Mad Men at night and then Community again the next morning and just be like, this is my life. It's crazy. Oh,
I need an assistant to manage all my emotions. This is it really is. It's such a bizarre, I don't know how actors just, like, if I didn't have stand-up to be able to do in those moments when I'm not hosting something, I would go out of my fucking mind.
Yeah. I this summer it's been odd because Mad Men's in production and I get to pop in over there, but it's much less now after being on Community for 8 months of just nonstop. It's 5 days a week. It's crazy. 15-hour days, you know, which is great. We love it. We love to be there all the time. There's nowhere we'd rather be, and everybody's so great over there. But then the summer comes, and I'm like, well, it's great, because yay, thank God everything worked out with Mad Men, and I can do season 4, and that's so fabulous. But you just never know how it's going to go. So there is a lot more downtime, and yeah. Then I find myself being like, like, I guess I'll do some podcasts.
Wait, just this podcast, right?
I mean, no, I'm just doing every podcast I could find.
Oh, there's wow, like some, that's...
If really, I knew more about the internet, I'd make a funny reference here, but
into a reference
really
to other podcasts.
Let's work on the reference, and then we can cut it in. Corolla?
Well, we bring you back in for pickups for the podcast, and we do some...
Yeah.
So what other types of stuff? I mean,
so it's been like, so the summer is filled with like press opportunities and, I don't know, I'm going to do some show with Danny Pudi, I think, at some improv show at Iowa West. This
week. Danny Pudi is you know, I met Danny because he's really good friends with my girlfriend Janet, and so we.
You mean the dog Janet?
when Allison came in to my house, my dog Scott obviously came up and started sniffing her business, and my girlfriend Janet was in the kitchen, and so just following the food chain of respect, I said, "This is Janet." But because Allison wasn't looking up, she was looking down at the dog, she goes, "Hi, Janet," and started petting the dog.
I had seen, you know, the woman standing in the kitchen, so the door opens and the dog comes right out, and he was like, "This is Janet."
So we had to move Scott out of the way so Janet could go up and sniff Allison in the business as well.
But like when you heard Scott, you're like, "Oh, obviously Scott is a dog's name." And then you realize.
Yes, and then I was like, "Oh, now I've gotten it all straightened out."
It was really weird. I used to live, when I first got Scott, I lived in West Hollywood, and which is, if you don't know, aren't familiar with Los Angeles, is where the gay gentlemen live.
I'm glad you said it like that, because otherwise I would have been like, what does he mean, gay gentleman? But then you did a weird tie.
I just did space work of me straightening my tie. Like,
I would do a bow tie.
You do a bow tie? I did a straight one.
Nice.
I imagine that my neighbors just thought that I had a really fucked up relationship with my gay lover. I'd be like, "Scott, get on the floor. Scott, Scott, you can't shit there." Like, it was a very weird relationship.
And then good pee, Scott.
Way to go, Scott. Well, I don't know. They have a fucked up relationship, but it sounds like the other guy is pretty well trained. So what are you getting? You must be getting offers for movies and...
You'd think that. No. No. No, I've been trying to get into the movie game. It's more difficult than you would think these days.
I think the movie business does not... They still, in this day and age, don't recognize television as a real
thing.
Medium.
They're like, oh. Well, I mean, first of all, I have to say that it has been... scheduling is an issue because the shows do go back to back. So it is sort of, you know, and there's a bit of negotiating that takes place to even let me get the okay to do Mad Men again for season 4. So it's sort of like, then you don't want to kind of just... rush off and, you know, to wherever.
Right.
So we were trying. So it kind of narrows the field when you're looking at films that are shooting in LA only on this time, and will they let you out to do this? And da 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 da. And people are kind of like, no.
That's pretty fun though. That's when you start getting into luxury problems.
It's true. Like, this is not a problem I can share with many people.
I can't go do this movie because I am doing my two hit television shows.
It's
life
so
is awful.
Hard.
What's the comedy show you're going to do with Danny?
Well. I don't really know. I think it's called Armando.
Yes, the Armando show.
It's sort of like ASCAT at UCB. You do a monologue.
Okay, good. Oh, that's what I thought.
You do an improvised monologue, but with a suggestion from the audience.
I've seen Danny do the show, and then he was like, "You should come and do it with me next time." And I said, "Absolutely." And then I got an email from him a couple days ago that was like, "Hey guys, we're all going to do this improv show," and blah blah. And the wording in the email somehow suggested to me that we were just going to be doing improv sketches, which I've never done before.
I think you're allowed to as the host of Armando.
I think you are, but
you don't have to.
But all that you're really required to do is come out at the beginning of the show and you say, "Hello, I'm Armando." Like, whoever's the monologist is Armando for the Iowa West version.
I have to say that my name is Armando.
Yes, and then I believe you take a suggestion from the audience. That's all we do in this business.
Oh,
we're just professional liars.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's all it is.
And then you kind of improvise
and then
a monologue
somebody,
for like 10 minutes.
Oh.
And then
the audience, people will be like, "Banana." And then I'll be like, "Oh, my God, this one time."
Yes, and then however you interpret that, you can spin you in another story, and then the improv actors will come out
off of your story.
And that's a blast. I just did ASCAT monologues like last weekend.
Yeah.
And it's a blast because it's like it's so nerve-wracking because I'm like, what if someone says something and I can't think of a story.
That's what I've been thinking.
I was even like more scared because like I was like, what if they say a word and like it reminds me of something from my act? And then my brain's going to be trying so hard to not
do that.
Yeah. Because like
they hate it. They hate it if you're a stand-up and you go into your act because it doesn't you don't have to be funny per se. You just need to give the actors good information.
Yeah, just details is very important
so that they can create stuff.
Sketches.
But it was a blast.
Yeah, I saw Joe Latrullio do it for ASCAT once before.
He's great.
It was really funny.
Joe's really great.
He's a friend of mine.
You like Joe Latrullio?
I love Joe.
He's been to my house before, Joe Latrullio.
Here's other people I like.
I also like wheat toast. Why is he just listing things and he
don't
give a shit?
Most cats.
I'm told I interrupt the guests too much.
No.
By one guy.
Stop reading things.
when people direct tweets at you, you cannot read them.
Well, what did I got true. like on Friday, someone's like, I follow at Myra and at Nerdist, but I'm not going to follow at Jonah Ray because why? I don't care. And like, don't follow Jonah Ray. And I was like, that's.
But they had to put your name in there so it would come up in your.
Yeah, exactly.
Thingy,
they didn't. He could have just thingy. Said my name and not do the at.
No,
thing.
They want
the
you to.
Thing. And I was, you know, I typed up a little draft of a retort, and then I was like, what's
and then you're
the
always
point?
Like, it's not worth it. I always do the same. I'm always like, this will be my clever response, and then I sit there and I go, oh, control yourself, Allison. It's not worth it.
Do you? But people must be in general pretty sweet to you.
It's
on,
true.
On
no, they are. I love my Twitter followers. They're so great. No, this morning I tweeted something about The American President. Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
It's fabulous.
Yes.
And I was sort of like, is it wrong that I always watch this anytime it's on? Like, I always watch it. In fact, I was watching it this morning just because I have it DVR'd from like 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
Like at 8 a.m. this morning. Like, I woke up and the first thing I did this morning was like, I'm going to watch The American President.
I have movies like that where just like it's an odd movie that I just like to have on. Or just like put it on
exactly.
whenever.
Exactly. I just put it on and then I was kind of like doing stuff.
Yeah.
And anyway, I was sort of like, and then I got some Twitter responses, and everyone was like, I love that movie. You're not weird. We love you. Like, it was
That's
fabulous.
All you did it for. That's all you ever want to hear.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yay. We all watched this movie together.
That was the Aaron Sorkin movie, right? Yeah. That sort of spawned West Wing?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
Michael Douglas?
Yes. I wish they had referred to him as
Michael J. Fox.
Excuse me, American President. American President? I wish they had referred to him as American President.
I used to get it confused with Dave.
Yes. Yes. Well, because the comedy version. I love Dave. Presidential romantic comedy. Dave is great. I love Dave.
Well, did those come around the same time?
I think so.
I think they
was
might
that like
have.
A trend in movies?
And that's how. And what was the one with the Jack Lemmon? And they were like.
Yeah, couple.
Running. They're what? Both running for president again.
No.
Oh. They're both former presidents.
Grumpy old presidents.
Yeah, that's what it was. Grumpy old presidents.
This is not the same.
Dan
Aykroyd
was in it.
Genre. No.
All right.
Then there's King Ralph.
I really, really like Mrs. Doubtfire.
By the way, my favorite joke in all the entire... I'm sorry, this is going to get nerdy for a second, Allie.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
My favorite joke in all of the Buffy Vampire Slayer series was... There's an episode where their memories get wiped. And then they get their memories back at the end, and one of the characters starts. He bursts out laughing. He's like, "Ah, I just remembered King Ralph." Such a gorgeous joke.
Nice.
Such a gorgeous. That was the character of Xander.
Oh.
Yeah, Xander I never watched that show. I never got into it.
You should. It's great.
That's what I hear. A lot of people vouch for it.
Yep. Well, right here. Me. I'm vouching for it.
Some people that I respect.
I'm vouching for it too.
People I respect that.
I'm vouching for it.
Other friends.
Wait, are you following Matt and Allie, but not me? And you're telling me that in a tweet?
I'm vouching for it, Jonah. You can watch it.
Twitter
if it's on.
Rivalry.
So when you know, where did you go to college?
I went to CalArts, California Institute of the Arts.
Oh, you did?
It's a great school. I love it. It's kind of a shame that the only time I ever reference it is like when I'm talking about me running around naked. It's really a shame because it was a really great school. It afforded me a lot of great opportunities to be in wonderful shows. I studied in Scotland. I went abroad. They have a study abroad program. So, I can't say enough great things about CalArts. I love it.
It's near the Six Flags, right?
It is.
Yeah, I remember I picked up a girl on a date once at
Valencia.
Went to school out there, yeah.
And then did you go to Six Flags on the date?
No, it was like at night. I didn't know how far it was. Oh. I was like, oh, I'll pick you up and we'll go to like it was like I was 19. We went to some like dumb hipster dance club in Hollywood.
Oh, man.
Like
hipsters have dance clubs?
Yeah, it was back when like bands like The Faint started happening and like all of a sudden hipsters were able to like dance all sexy and like it was like a club underground. They play a lot of Smiths.
I like sexy hipsters.
And like,
when I hear the Smiths, I just think danceable.
Yeah.
I love to cut a rug to girlfriend in a coma.
They have upbeat rhythms.
That's true.
You could dance to that.
I guess you could. I guess you could.
I mean, I could.
Yeah.
And if a turn
just a slow skank, you know?
slow
skank sounds like an insult to a girl. She's a slow skank.
Actually, it sounds like a band that would have opened for a
hole. Yeah. She'll fuck every guy, but she'll take a long time.
She just takes her time.
Slow burn. It's a slow burn. So when you... You grew up in Southern California?
I did. I grew up in South Pasadena.
I love South Pasadena.
What?
South Pass.
Yes.
Still live around there. Yeah.
It's not too far away from Huntington Gardens, one of my favorite places in the world.
It's very
Huntington
nice.
Gardens is fantastic.
One of my favorite places in the world. I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
It could use a roller coaster.
It's true. You just walk around and
I just wish there was a tram around from like, you know, the Chinese garden to the Japanese garden to the Australian forest. I just wish there was a tram.
Cacti, I get it.
Some of those cacti blow your mind.
It's pretty amazing.
Like
kind of look like dick and balls.
Oh,
They'll have like there's a lot of like hairy cactuses with like a long one and then two little buddies. Ones.
It's true.
Yeah, two little buddies right next to it.
I'll confirm this.
I took a picture at Huntington Gardens of a tree that has roots that are above ground. And they look like black dongs. Like, I'll pull it up on my phone because it is literally the most insane.
We'll have to link it.
I mean, it's.
Oh, thank God, because I need to see this now.
I obviously have the humor of a 15-year-old, so a lot of times I'll be like, snicker. But this was so unforgivably dong-esque that I don't think.
You couldn't deny it.
You can't. You no can one try would. To deny it, and you would be wrong.
Scientists think that about this plant.
That's right.
Scholars have not debated it because of how obvious it is that they're black dogs.
But let's talk. Well, actually, Allie, let's talk for a second about some recent hubbub that's been created on the internet. You wrote a sexy semi-autobiographical tale, which I assume was probably embellished for comedy reasons.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought this up, Chris Hardwick.
You're welcome, Allison.
I believe that it was sort of taken out of context. I was actually a bit horrified and also slightly flattered that people just kind of picked my story out of this book and chose to kind of... I mean, when taken out of context, it is a quite graphic story.
A little bit of backstory. But, so what's the book and where did the story...
Well, here's the thing. It started as a show at UCB. So it was an Upright Citizens Brigade show.
Mm-hmm.
Started by friends of mine, Laura Kindred and Alexandra Leiden. I think I'm pronouncing her last name.
Great friends of mine. This is Mortified, right?
It was just called Worst Laid Plans.
Oh, that's right.
Called
yes,
Worst Laid Plans. Yeah. True Tales of Terrible Sex. And it was a series of monologues. So all these girls and one guy would do these series of monologues, like vagina monologues, but a little more, you know, terrifying because they're just about, you know, terrible sex. Mm-hmm. Your worst sex ever. And I had guested on the show a couple times and done this as a monologue. Along with, you know, a lot of people guested Amy Poehler, Janine Garofalo. You know, they kind of had lots of different buzzy women come in to do it. I was really flattered to have been asked. And I thought, oh, I have this great story about having sex with my gay friend in college. It's hilarious. But I had never really done anything like that before. So I sat down and I was like, I got to craft this into more of a monologue and add an intro and kind of give it some context. Yeah. Otherwise, it's sort of just like, so I had sex with my gay friend once.
Good night! You know?
Spike the microphone.
Thank you! Thank you, UCB Los Angeles! So, no, you want to give it a little flavor and whatnot. So I did, and it always went over well as a monologue. So then they adapted it into a book, and they asked me to be a part of the book. And again, I was very flattered to be a part of it. There's 39 other comedians, actresses, writers that did it. I was like, I'm going to be published in a book. This is awesome.
Not really thinking about what was about to be published.
Yes, and I totally just, and I also just thought it would absolutely get lost in the shuffle, my story along with, you know, and I didn't really know how much press they were doing for the book itself. And, mm-hmm. and you know, a day after it was released, it was like everywhere on the internet. I was just getting texts from like random guys I knew from high school. Like, hey, I actually called Donald Glover just checking in and was like, are you in LA? And he was like, no, but I've been online and I heard you're a freaky freak.
Oh no.
I was like, Donald, you know, so again, I'll say when taken out of context, the story does seem quite graphic and overwhelming, but I was a bit dismayed at the fact that people thought it was this like true sexual confession, especially this one term where I guess I referenced being the quote unquote queen of copulation, which is now like a headline on certain websites, as if it's just, like you said, totally true, like taken at face value, whereas I just thought it was a couple of nifty adjectives.
Well, you can't just become the queen of copulation. First of all, the king has to die, and then the queen will take over, and then if you're a bastard child...
That's true.
So there is a line of royalty.
I mean, my lineage, I know, but, you know, my father was the... No.
The king of...
Yes. I can't, no.
You just can't.
Let's not. I'm still trying to keep the story out of my dad's range.
Let's not delve into the sexual royalty chain. Oh, your parents don't know about it yet?
No, my mom knows. My mom actually came to my first performance of the show and thought it was hilarious. She understood that it was embellished for comedy, especially... I can't stress enough, especially the intro and terms like that. Like... It was more just for comedic context, and though the story is true, I'm not trying to cop out of that.
But it's fun, you know. But I thought what was so well written about it is just in the description of you convince your gay friend to have sex with you, and then I think I remember that he kind of described the experience as slippery, or like there was some sort of a weird like it was just described in such a way where someone who wouldn't be into that would just kind of point out the accidental qualities of the experience.
It
you
was
know?
More just the funny thing about the queen of copulation term is that the irony is that the whole story is supposed to be about my lack of experience, really, and the fact that I'm obviously not great at this, and that it's like going so terribly wrong the whole time. And it did, like, and there were just a number of opportunities for us to kind of just call it quits and be like, you know, we gave it a good try, and I just wouldn't back down. Like, I would not
let it go. Did you put on Tom Petty's "I Won't Back Down" in the background?
No, he put on Madonna's "Erotica," and I'd like to point out.
Well, did he also plant a red flag in the floor at the same time?
He did it, and at one point I suggested that we move the mattress into the closet so that he'd feel more comfortable, and I genuinely did not see the irony of this at the time. Genuinely did not realize it until recalling it later. You know,
It's a gorgeous story, and I also think what's interesting, and maybe you can sort of take this as a, hey, my career is going pretty well, but it must be sort of weird when you're used to just being able to say whatever you want. No one says anything. You're below the radar. And then all of a sudden, like, why the fuck do they care about that?
Absolutely. That was one of the things, that was the interesting thing about having it, where when I said I was a bit flattered, that's where that came, that was the only thing flattering. But some of the websites genuinely got where I was coming from, and there were some flattering things said about it being a funny story and whatnot. But yes, I was very surprised that I was like, really? Out of everybody in the, like, really? They picked out my, you know, story? It seemed, well, it did seem kind of odd. And then that switch flicks on in your head like, oh, I better watch what I say from now on. I better watch how often I describe in-depth stories about sex with gay men from now on.
I think there's sort of I think there's a meta context, though, which is that, you know, maybe people just didn't perceive you as a comic the way that, like, if Janine told that story
or if Amy told that story.
And so they think, no, she's an actress.
Right.
And
so, that's
so this
good.
Must be, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't
but
know if
like,
maybe.
You're doing this, like, serious confessional.
Yeah. Do you have some sort of grizzled old publicist who's like, Allie, you can't buy this kind of press. More slippery sex gay stories.
I know. I told my team and I was like, it's all over. What should we do? And they were like, it's fine. Come on. It's funny. Everybody will... It's going to blow over.
Hey.
No pun intended.
I'd say that a story like that could get a young gal up the Maxim Hot 100 list.
Oh, dear. Wait. Before we stop talking about the story, I would like to say, because I felt like the one thing that made me kind of about it instantly was like, oh, God, NBC. Like, you know, like, I play a bit of a... You know, buttoned up character on the show, and I was worried about their reactions.
Former speed freak.
That's true, but she's not really a prude actually. She kind of makes out with a lot of people.
Yeah.
But anyway, my point is that the writers on our show loved this story, and it was actually referenced before the book came out because I wrote it. I mean, probably almost a year before the book came out, and it was referenced on the show in our STD episode.
That's fantastic.
I got to, through my character. Yeah.
Nice.
So it all tied up.
It all came together, yeah.
What are the two experiences like? So on the days when you're shooting Community and then you're going to shoot Mad Men, what is the is the Mad Men set kind of madcap and sort of because it's so such a serious show, or is it very, very heavy?
You know, everybody on the show is so. They can all be very funny. John Hamm, obviously, has
hilarious.
A great sense of humor. Yeah. Elizabeth Moss, you know, she's just in Get Him to the Greek. And, like, everybody has a great sense of humor. But and Vincent Kartheiser, who plays my husband, is super funny. But it always does seem more serious to me, only because when I'm there, the majority of the time, I'm not with everyone. It's just me and Vinny doing our scenes at home. So the best way that I always like to describe it is by volume. It's like when I'm on the Community set, it's like outrageously loud and nobody shuts up ever. It's like being on a playground with like wild kids.
Comedy
like,
dog
like
pile.
Super so rambunctious.
Like, everybody's always there like in the
yeah,
room.
Yeah, it's pretty. We're pretty much all there all the time and everybody's just like one person makes the joke and then we just run with that bit for the next 6 hours.
Yeah,
you
I can
know?
Imagine like between having like Pootie and like Donald.
Oh my
and
God.
Joel,
and Donald will get on these tears and we're on the floor, you know, but then we all need to like contribute. It's so fun. But then, you know, we'll get over to Mad Men And the, you know, the nature of the scenes is quite serious. Mm-hmm. And it's just Vinny and I. So it is, it's just, it's very quiet. It's very focused. And, mm-hmm. and there is, there's a lot of, not that there's not a lot of nuance that you want to get on Community, but I think we actually get more of it when we're joking and finding all these mm-hmm. other little things and then kind of flow right into it. Whereas on Mad Men, sometimes it's obviously much more subtle and finding that nuance is a bit trickier. So it's like a different dance.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever suggested just putting a laugh track under your scenes with Vincent?
You know, mm-hmm. I have, and they just
won't do it.
Yeah, it's so weird.
How is it? You know, what I'm curious to know is, as a performer, do you go into a different headspace? I mean, not just that the characters are different, but do you go into like comedy mode versus like, you know, do you purposely hit different beats in drama mode, or do you just kind of not think about it?
You know, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think it's more about the characters. The characters are so different. So like Trudy speaks with a certain cadence and Annie's voice is different and they walk different. And you know, what's different about Mad Men, you know, with Community, we were still finding our groove, even though it's like I've logged many more hours under Community. We've done 3 years going into the fourth year on Mad Men. Mm-hmm. So it's easier. That character is so well established kind of after three seasons mm-hmm. and they write her so well and that sort of thing. Whereas on Community, it's like you're finding it.
She's still developing. She's still changing.
Yeah, like and will continue to develop. And same
up,
with Trudy,
yeah.
develops all the time. But that just sounded so weird. Trudy develops all the time. She's quite the developer.
Constantly developing.
Let me tell you.
She's still getting her movie.
There are a lot of similarities between the two characters. But there's also like subtle differences. Like, could you do like a Trudy line and then a Annie line back to back? And we can hear the differences.
No,
that's a terrible thing to ask
dance,
someone.
Dance, monkey, dance.
No, just like it's funny because
we brought you these clothes. Will you put them on?
I mean,
because recently I was like watching a DVR in Mad Men and I turned it off and then like Community was on and it was funny because it was just like a scene with you and then like it was like a scene like in both like and I remember just
that's
I was like
awesome.
It's like oh wow it's so minute like it's very very neat.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was cool.
I don't know. I'm hesitant to do it now.
Don't do it. You don't have to do it.
I would feel
so uncomfortable if someone was like, do that thing that you do on your show.
Like, okay, hey.
Self-awareness time.
Me, my mom.
You're the first female guest of the podcast.
Yes, I can't believe you didn't bring that up sooner.
It's a big deal.
With that.
And I never intended to do 19 episodes of Dudes. First, it's, you know, like, the first...
which is what our first greatest hits.
Can we go back and rename the podcast 19 episodes of Dudes?
19 episodes of Dudes. Dudes.
Some girl on, someone on Twitter was like, I'm not going to listen to Nerdist podcast because I'm not into misogyny. And I was like, that's a big word for a broad.
That's why I haven't talked.
No, but I honestly... Like I'm not misogynistic at all. I mean, we have dude energy, but I feel like, you know, I had asked a handful of people, a handful of female guests to do the show, and scheduling wise, none of them.
It's weird to hear you say that because like, as soon as I came in here, you had me do the dishes and like
what?
So
and we're all drinking dude energy drinks.
There are just some grease stains. There are just some grease stains that just cannot be removed by
a man hand.
It's our calluses. They won't allow it.
They won't allow it. I'm out in the fields thinking about sports all day, you know, working on my steel job.
Though, at the heart of this, you're like, you were the first girl that was just totally available to do this.
Mm. I read this story that you wrote on the internet, and I was like, this girl is up for anything.
She'll clearly do anything. Wow.
By the way, I just want to say this podcast feels a little slippery, and can we do it in the closet?
This is not a quote. This is a slippery thing. This is a misquote.
It is?
I don't know.
I thought that's what I read, that you said that he thought... Well, I don't want to get too graphic.
The term
with it.
Slippery. People should buy the book.
What's the name of the book?
Take anything away from this. It's called Worst Laid Plans.
Worst Laid Plans.
I just wanted to plug that.
It's called, they've changed, because you get so much press, they've changed it to Allison Brie's gay sex.
Allison Brie presents. Worst Laid Plans.
In the closet.
Oh my gosh. I was just in Toronto. We were doing press for Community, and I found my favorite new MTV Toronto or like MTV Canada show called One Girl, Five Gays.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Well,
have
that
you?
Doesn't yeah, sound offensive. What is that about?
They just sit around and talk about stuff. It's not as exciting as it sounds when you hear the title.
It's also known as Every Girl's Fantasy. Just to have five gays around and just get the fucking talk.
Or Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
instead of
I think I missed.
They're not dwarves, are they? Are they Canadian dwarves?
Some were dwarves. No, none of them were.
Be amazing.
They alternate though, so there might be some in the mix. I don't know. I watched it minimally.
They just hang out, isn't it?
I think so, but there kept being ads. Like the one I was watching, which was airing in the middle of the afternoon, was like not the real one that people are supposed to watch, which airs at midnight and is the more like the gritty one. Mm-hmm. And I talked to someone later while I was still in Toronto, and they were like, "Oh no, 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 no! Oh no, girl! It was a gay guy."
He was like, one of the five?
Got to. No, no. Although some of them reached out to me on Twitter after I tweeted that.
Whoa!
The host, the girl, was like, "You're awesome."
They're very progressive in Canada. Oh, a girl, I five gays, Toronto. They have ketchup-flavored chips, which I'm a
huge fan.
Yes.
They also have chip nuts, which I got in a gift basket, and it's a peanut wrapped in a Pringle, like surrounded by Pringle.
Oh, wow.
So you just eat it like they're like round balls, like nuts. But
oh, Allison, please. Come on now.
But they have Pringles around them, which is how I always like to eat my nuts.
Is wrapped in Pringles.
Pringles.
No, you realize you're gonna get a bunch of tweets from dudes now like, "I wrap my nuts in Pringles, Allison Brie."
When a Pringle is not Pringle shaped, is it a Pringle anymore? That's what I'm.
Yes,
I ate them, and it
does still taste like Pringle.
Yeah.
But I think he's saying philosophically because they have that specific shape.
How are you supposed to make the dust?
It's true. Well, they don't say Pringle on the bag. They just say chips.
So
chips are on nuts.
This Pringle thing is like you saying.
Well, I'm categorizing it. It wasn't like a Lay's. It wasn't thin. It was a sturdy chip. It had the Pringle flavor. Hmm. Like a gangsta Pringle. Not. Did you notice the way I did that?
I see what you did there. I love Canada. Toronto is such a phenomenal city. I think my favorite thing about Toronto is first of all, it's a well-planned, clean city.
Yes. Gorgeous.
The most amazing hot dog carts in any city. They, like at their subways, which are very clean and safe, they have all these hot dog carts. And why is that funny?
Very clean and safe.
They are clean and safe.
I didn't have one. I didn't have
best hot dogs in the world.
I don't eat hot dogs.
Really?
I don't like to eat.
Well, according to the story that
like
I read on.
Dong.
What?
Yeah. Just kidding.
you know.
Remember that in Superbad where he can't eat anything shaped like penises? I really like that part of that movie.
I'm an asshole. I've never seen Superbad.
Oh my god! You should see
Doesn't
it.
Make you an asshole. Don't worry about it.
There are a lot of. I don't.
Oh, I love that movie. That's so good. Charming.
Yeah.
And a Netflix that shit.
Yeah.
I like it.
You should.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
Joe Trulio's in it.
Yeah. A lot of people are in it.
Just Joe. It's a one-man show.
It's a good movie. I'd imagine if I was...
does Michael Cera do that kind of slow-talking, stuttery character that he does?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And Jonah Hill yells
fabulous.
A lot. You know, it's made for them. But it's a good movie, too, because it's like... I'd imagine, though, if I was 18 and I just graduated from high school and I saw that movie that summer it came out, it would be like a
lot... Mind-blowing.
Yeah, it would be one
of... It would be
your
Breakfast Club.
Yeah, totally. Exactly.
Yeah,
totally.
My Breakfast Club.
Your Breakfast Club.
It was my Breakfast
Not
Club.
Not mine. Breakfast Club was actually my Breakfast Club.
That's true.
I was in high school and then.
I don't think I like. Sadly to say, I think Can't Hardly Wait is my Breakfast Club.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I could share that with you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, came out in 98. I was like, I was sophomore or junior or something like that.
That's okay. I won't fault you.
I was
you
younger,
for...
but.
I enjoyed
what
American,
class is it?
American
no,
Pie.
I was
like that.
Yeah.
You what?
I saw American Pie.
Oh, yeah, American
that
Pie.
Summer. Like, that was sort of like that.
Yeah. American Pie, when did that come out, though?
99?
Yeah, though. I remember Can't Hardly Wait in high school. I loved that movie.
I saw it like 3 times in the theater.
Oh, I saw it a ton of times. And then it was just on like a few weeks ago. And
yeah,
I was watching it again.
It's edited really like weirdly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
I don't fault you for that because
I'm glad we could share this moment.
Yeah,
the song
they cut out the part where they go like Mike Dexter is an asshole, and then
it's kind of like when they play.
So
it's like when
Chris
they play.
Is so lost right now.
I had to do. I did a sketch. I had Peter Facinelli in a sketch I did on Attack of the Show. And it like was so hard not to call Mike Dexter all day. I just went like, right, on this next one, Mike Dexter, you are a god. You are a role model.
Hey, there's a hummingbird outside the window. I probably shouldn't mention it because our viewers can't hear
pictures. Guys, let's all take a moment, not talk, and just marvel at the hummingbird.
Mm. It's gone already.
Yeah, it's gone.
Its heart is beating so fast. Just to keep it alive. Little hummingbird.
Slow down. You can do better.
That's okay. I was just remembering that I'm pretty sure I lost my virginity to the song, to some Belinda Carlisle song. That's not forgivable.
I'm so glad we could hear about that right now.
That was good.
That's what the hummingbird reminded me of. I lost my virginity to a hummingbird. It's a very long story.
But their wings flap so fast.
I can't imagine.
So what do you when you're not acting on the television, what shows do you like? What do you like to watch? Do you like nerdy stuff or do you like
What's nerdy stuff? Like what?
Like, did you watch? Did you watch like Firefly or you know like any
of
that?
I don't even know what that is.
All right, well there you
what
go.
What is that?
It was a Joss Whedon show. Nathan Fillion.
Oh yeah, I love that show. Those guys are great.
There you go. Good.
Hire me.
Then they had a movie.
She goes to Comic-Con every year. We were just talking about.
You've never been to Comic-Con.
No, but I really would like to go to Comic-Con. But like I said, I would want a reason to go. Like I want to be, you know.
But you don't have to.
Allison Brie for Mary Jane. Did you interview with?
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
you don't Donald have to, you, but Comic-Con has expanded to the point where you could go as part of a community panel. Like, it doesn't have to be...
That's true. Well, yeah. Similarly, I'm not saying that I have to do a superhero movie, although I'd probably pretty awesome
you in should.
One. Be yeah. pretty awesome in one.
You really should.
She should be the new Mary Jane. Donald Glover should be the new Spider-Man.
Hello.
I really
Donald
like,
Glover for Spider-Man.
I'm into it.
It's like, I thought it was funny when he started tweeting about it, but then I thought about it for a second. I was
like
no,
that
is fucking
awesome.
Perfect. It's yeah. such a, it would be so fun.
And that really took off. That was really exciting.
Yeah, it was neat to see that.
Yeah.
They'll never do it.
Yeah. I know.
They're jerks.
DC, Pearson
but
can
no.
be could be Venom.
Were you about to do the impersonation?
Yeah, I was about to do DC, but then it would have just come out wrong.
By wrong, do you mean horribly racist?
No, DC is the white blonde-haired dopey guy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Donald.
No.
Okay.
No. No, but speaking of it, really, there was a surge in racism after that. It kind of took off on the internet. I got messages personally tweeted to me. Personally, like not even to Donald, just to me, that were like, Spider-Man is white, not an afro.
What?
Whoa.
Quoting
Whoa.
Literally all in caps. And I was like, really?
Yeah, Dan Harmon like kept on like responding to people violently that were being racist about it on Twitter.
Well, I'm glad to know that there's a Venn crossover between nerds and racists.
Yeah,
like,
yeah
I
like
need
hardcore.
My superheroes white, the way Jesus intended.
Oh man,
original superhero, brother. He was the original superhero, Jason. You like comic books, huh? That's like some weird like Christian evangelist going to comic book stores. You like Superman? Well, let me tell you about the original Superman.
You know, what is the problem? I mean, Afro-American people have Black Vulcan. Isn't that not enough? No, it's not.
No, somebody was like...
Well, he wasn't... You know,
What's that movie right now that there's controversy because they cast white actors to play these Asian roles... Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, that was Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Charlie
Chan.
Oh, man, racist. Well, never mind. But somebody sent me something about that, and they were like, if it's racist to cast white people in that movie, why isn't it reverse racism to cast a black man as Spider-Man? I was like, why are you asking me? You know?
Well,
leave me alone.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird what people get stuck in their craw about.
We don't have to talk about racism anymore today,
should we?
Guys.
I think we should really touch on it harder.
Look, guys, I came here for one reason. I just want to shed some light on racism.
Let's also discuss abortion, healthcare, and Scientology.
I am not for racism.
So,
now that we've covered that.
It sounds like a lot of white people in America have been bitten by a really racist radioactive spider. That makes them...
Let's talk about how movies get edited for TV, huh?
I think we've touched on it before, but... Like I'll say it again. My favorite edited TV line is in Big Lebowski when instead of saying "This is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass," he says, "This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps."
I think at that point they were probably just like, "It doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter.
It just has to be something
weird. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
See what happens, Larry. See what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps."
No, wait, stop smashing that. What are you talking about? I don't understand that train of logic.
Legend has it when you're in the Alps and you come across a stranger.
When they edited this 70s movie called Smokey and the Bandit, when they edited it for television.
Did you just have to say, I think Smokey and the Bandit stand on its own.
I don't know if everyone knows Smokey and the Bandit.
It's a 70s movie.
Allie doesn't know Smokey and the Bandit.
She knows Smokey and the Bandit.
By name.
I know it.
All right.
Yeah, by name. I haven't actually seen it.
Well, wait, hang on. Do you know who the bandit is?
Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah. Let's just tell her.
I have a mustache.
Yeah, that's how information is exchanged.
And yet I'm doing this.
You know,
I was like,
she knew it though. It was in her brain.
I did appreciate the finger mustache. Yeah. I've heard it referenced before.
So Jackie Gleason swears a lot in the movie. He plays this sheriff, and like everything.
Oh, he's great in it.
You some bitch. You very like he just swears the whole time. And so when they edit it for television, clearly not his voice, and it was just like, "You scum bum!" Like, scum bum. Just ruined
it.
The. Why even bother?
Let's start like taking like the weird swears we hear, alternate like takes in movies, and just start using them in our everyday lives. Like, start saying that's scum good. Bum. And then, like, this guy's a total scum bum.
That frackin' scumbum.
Yeah. Now, see, frackin' is a nerd.
That is right from
Battlestar.
That show, yeah.
Yep,
which I haven't watched.
See, I kind of knew that.
Yeah, you kind of knew that.
Because I auditioned for something along those lines once, and I was like, frack, what does that mean?
That's why I started watching Heroes.
This is fracking stupid.
No,
I never watched Heroes. And then I auditioned for like a small part in it, and I was like reading the script. I was like, oh, it's about... No, this is not so bad. And I actually tuned into the show and like got caught up in it for a little while.
Oh, you watched Heroes?
Yeah, for like the first two seasons, yeah.
I gave it a couple episodes.
I would have never given it a chance if I hadn't read
those. I kind of missed the boat on it. And sometimes I feel like when you don't get into a show right away, then you need to wait, and then later you can rent it on DVD. That's what I did with Lost.
Yeah.
Well, I was caught up by the end of Lost, but I didn't watch Lost until season 4. And I was very reluctant. And then finally someone was like, just watch the first two episodes and just... Yeah. See where it goes.
Yeah.
See where it takes you, baby. Cut to me holed up in my room for like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
where it takes you is to heaven. That's where the show takes you. Five seasons of Science and then heaven.
It's spiritual match.
My girlfriend caught up on she had watched the first season and then caught up on the like other five seasons and then most of the sixth season, like all the way up, like within a month of time.
Ooh.
Like she, like her brain was melting by the like time the like the season.
But it's so cool to do it like that,
because
you make so many more connections.
Exactly.
Whereas like once I was finally caught up and watching it on TV and waiting week to week, I was like, aww,
yeah,
how am I gonna do this?
Every time the show would end, I would just be
who
like,
is
fuck
that
this
guy?
Show. Fuck no, I need it again.
And then like a season finale, and then I always have that experience with Mad Men where I'm like, well. Another 10 months to not see this show.
Yeah,
like
that's
true.
A weird feeling. Like like every time Mad Men ends, I'm like, oh.
But the season finale last season was so phenomenal. It almost could have been a series finale in a sense. Do you have any
idea? I'm so glad it's not.
Thrilled that it's not. Is there anything you can tell us about the show? Does it go forward a couple years, or you can't tell
there's
us anything?
There's nothing I can say about the show.
It's so rad though. Like I was expecting it to be a bummer of a season finale, because it was gearing up for that. Like everything was kind of going wrong. Betty was leaving. Like they're Sterling Cooper was disintegrating.
So when you say bummer, you mean downer.
Like
not,
downer,
not
sorry,
unentertaining.
Yeah.
That Draper House of Sadness cards that had been built for the last few seasons.
Although, can I say both of them phenomenal? What a great season for
amazing.
The
movie.
Amazing. That like when like things got violent and scary.
Yeah.
Really
cool.
I really got in. Yeah.
Everyone on the show is phenomenal.
It's amazing.
I just hope Sal comes back. I want Sal to come back so bad.
Sal's a fan favorite.
Yeah, he's so fun.
He was great.
Yeah, he was great. Like his episodes were really, really amazing.
Yeah.
And just that scene where he's dancing
for his wife.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
I was just talking about it with my roommate the other day. It's like I was like she's like, oh yeah, it makes me uncomfortable just thinking about that scene.
Brian Batt is the actor who plays Salvatore, and he's so talented, and he's an amazing singer. We did a show, the Mad Men Live Review, where the supporting actors, we did it at the El Rey in L.A., and then we took it to Vegas, and we did it at MGM Grand.
How did I miss this?
It was a live stage show, and we each sang a song from the 60s, and he brought the house down.
Oh, wow. That's
awesome. And I sang. I wore a boa. It was fabulous.
That's awesome.
That is phenomenal. Are you guys going to do the show again?
I don't know. You know, right after, we did the one in L.A. and sort of immediately, but this was like... I mean, at least probably a year and a half ago, maybe longer.
I can imagine.
It was great. I mean, we had a great crowd.
Yeah.
But it was not, I mean, it's not like we did it. The El Rey is not a huge venue. So it
what was it like in Vegas? Nice. I don't picture Vegas as the Mad Men demographic.
You know, we had a packed house, but
it
was like one night only. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Our Mad Men fans were there, and then I think there were a lot of friends of the show there, and
Like, I think I would go.
I would absolutely go.
It's like songs from the 60s,
like
and
a
like
big
people.
Band and,
yeah,
you know,
actually, that yeah.
Because
I was trying to think of like the people
out.
Who would go. Like, is it like older people that want to see these songs being played, or is it fans of the show? It's probably just a mix, right?
I guess both, and also like I said, friends of the show. I have a feeling that a lot of people we were like, come, and everyone was like, okay, I'm not doing anything else this Tuesday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because performing in Vegas is a weird. It's just a
it was
it's a totally
cool.
That's I'm so glad you had that experience. most performing experiences in Vegas are dreadful because people go to Vegas and they're just in this kind of mindset of like, it doesn't fucking matter what I do here. What happens here stays here. Yeah. So they just, like, their fucking douche meters go up to 112 on a scale of 101.
Yeah.
Arbitrary numbers.
Yeah, that's an interesting scale.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you're not immediately giving them what they want,
yeah,
because they feel like everything should just be brought to their faces and brains, they just kind of get cranky.
It was
in
so
Vegas.
Funny. I was just in Vegas. We were at the cast of Community. We were all just in Vegas to see Joel do stand up at.
And Donald opened up, right?
Yes, yeah. At the Mandalay Bay, and Donald opened for him. And you know, the crowd that's going to see Joel is like really into The Soup, and although, but it kind of caters to, there's younger people, there's older people, mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's kind of an eclectic mix. Now Donald opened for him, and Donald is so hilarious, but a lot of his comedy is quite dirty, you know, yeah. Whereas Joel kind of has like a clean cut, even though he, I don't know.
I opened for Joel at Mandalay like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And I know that audience.
His kind of audience. So Donald comes out, and it was just so fabulous to hear him just kind of get so blue, as they say.
How was the audience?
Well, the younger people you could tell were like so into it because he's hilarious. So when, yeah. If you're on the ride with Donald, you're cracking up, mm-hmm. And we are going crazy. And then there was just like this line of like old ladies in front of us with their husbands that was just like silent and just aghast.
Yeah, I can't imagine those ladies laughing at the teacher farting bit that he does, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty fabulous.
Didn't even lean over and go, "That's the kind of comedy they do."
Could you imagine and then those if he was Spider-Man?
Well, I personally went on to Twitters and I told them that he should not be Spider-Man because Spider-Man is a white man.
Nor does he work blue.
He doesn't work blue. He works black is what he does. Get my coat. You don't have a coat.
Find one.
All right.
Man.
This was a fun improv game we've just played. Called Elderly Racist Spider-Man
People. It's a comedy show, yeah.
That's what we do. It's really elderly racist nerds who are old people and they just complain about.
You're giving away all our show pitches, Chris.
Here's why Storm should have been white. Oh. No, but she was literally supposed to be
from Africa.
You don't understand.
But her hair was white.
Not good enough. So what's where do you go? Where do you go after that one? Where do you go after that one?
Allison Brie, she brings the racist out in you.
Damn race card again. I happen to have opened this up. Jeez.
Let's talk about how, like, you know, you work on Community and Mad Men. I used to work at a funeral home, then go to the ice cream store for the
two literally. Best races are white and NASCAR. What?
What?
Why? No, NASCAR is the best race.
We should, you know, at some point we have to talk
no
about
debate.
It. By the way, I was kidding when I, because people sometimes don't understand irony. I'm not saying that white people in NASCAR are the best races.
It was a joke.
Clearly.
It was a joke.
Yeah. But wait, I think
like
we're all saying
said,
the same thing, right, guys? Right, guys?
A Day at the Racist.
Oh, sorry.
I just watched that last night.
He said a Day at the Racist.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
Although
the Marx Brothers do put blackface on in that movie.
Oh, God, we got get off black.
But they were just hiding out after that large jazz number.
Oh, man.
We have to talk at some point about how you worked at a funeral home, but we don't have time to get
it's
into
okay,
it.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. We'll get into
why?
It.
Why? We don't want to talk about that. It sounds like it's, really, really upbeat.
He had a story at the Adam Savage podcast when we did live. Which was a great, great midgets, thing. Brought down the house.
Yeah. Good times.
That was a good story.
There's a lot of those. Someday, guys.
This is when we flash back in this podcast.
I know.
That show.
And we're back.
So are you going anywhere this summer for fun?
I don't think so.
What do you do for fun? Do you have time to have fun?
No, not really.
Do you mind that?
No, not really.
No, because when you're an actor.
Well, because the work is so fun. I realize I just sound really lame. Like, I should have hobbies. But the thing is that this summer has been about wedding planning for me. A friend of mine just got married 2 weeks ago, and I was maid of honor. My sister gets married in 2 weeks, and I'm the maid of honor.
Oh, shit. You're like Liz Lemon.
This should be a romantic comedy starring me.
I think there is a maid of honor.
I know.
There is.
I know.
27 dresses.
Isn't there a Jennifer Lopez movie called? Oh, that was Maid.
There's a movie with Patrick Dempsey
yes.
and Michelle Monaghan called Maid of Honor, but
yes.
it's not about this topic. This is really more like 27 Dresses.
Yes,
I'm gonna have to make my own hybrid movie of it.
Yeah,
don't are there
two dresses?
Do you like? Do you like
weeks.
Maid? Do you like? Do you like Maid of Honoring?
No, for my sister, I love it. I love my sister.
It's like a job, like where you have to take on a job, right?
It's a job. It's a lot. I'm not a real weddingsy girl. Mm-hmm. For my friend, it was fine. You know, it's fine once you get into it and you're like, you want it to be nice for your friend. But you know, I'm not super weddings. I'm not that girl that's always been like planning my wedding all my life. Like, you know, whereas some girls I think really love, like the character in 27 Dresses. that could be a real person, right? They get really into it, I think, you know, and they, you know.
I just think if you're a performer, you don't have that thing in your head of, I want the one day where everyone pays attention to me. Yeah,
we want that every day.
Yeah, exactly. Every day is a fucking wedding day if you're a performer.
It's true.
Because you just want that attention.
Especially because I wear a wedding dress every time I wake up.
That's
I
weird.
Put it on.
It's so weird.
No, it is not.
And then you watch
weird.
Mad Men and Community
it's
back
like
to back.
Yeah.
You can save so much time if you just sleep in it.
That's true. Oh, you're right. Oh, you're going to knock out 5 minutes.
No, you'll wrinkle it.
That's true.
So
that's been a lot of my summer. I've been doing little trips like Vegas and press trips. I don't know. It's been a lot of work, but I imagine the community press trips
are fun because like you're buds with everyone.
Yeah, it is. We just got back from Toronto and it was really fun. Yeah. It's like vacation, but for 48 hours.
And do you find that is community doing as well in Canada as it's doing here?
Oh my gosh, much better. It was so great to be up there and have every interview started like, how does it feel to be on an unbelievably hit show? Yeah. We were just like, what? I don't know. Have you seen our show? Or?
You know,
we're not the people from Glee.
I love the Glee reference in the paintball episode of Community. Also, the paintball episode of Community, one of the best episodes of television ever.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Community is one of those shows that started off funny. I mean, I remember seeing the
funny
teaser trailer for it.
Or funny weird.
No, funny haha. Like, I remember seeing the teaser trailer for it and being like, the show looks really fucking great. Yeah. And then it just got better and better and better, and I'm so thrilled that the network gave it a chance
to grow.
Yeah.
It's such a weird process. I mean, you talked about earlier that it's like, you know, there are all these steps along the way, and, you know, booking the pilot was exciting, and then, but even then I think we didn't really know how big of a role the character of Annie would be, and I think even the creators kind of didn't really know where they were going to go with that character, so it's sort of like, okay, I have this little supporting role on this show that seems funny with these cool people, and we shot the pilot, and that was really fun, but it was like, how's it going to turn out? You know, the Russo brothers, Anthony and Joe, who are amazing, directed our pilot, and they're our producers, they've directed, like, pretty much, I mean, the majority of our episodes, and anyway, then going and viewing the pilot with Danny and Yvette and I, because everyone else lived in New York after we did the pilot, and the three of us went and screened it, and it was just like, we were so nervous because you don't know how it's going to turn out. And afterwards, we all sat there for a beat and we were like, it's funny. It's funny, right? Like, do we just think it's funny because we're in it? Like,
please validate
this could
me.
Really go
I'm not crazy,
right?
I'm not crazy.
It is funny. But it was really exciting. And then along the way, to kind of see it progress, and the whole time you just have your fingers crossed because at any moment, you're watching other shows kind of fall by the wayside, and it's like, all right, we're continuing. We think we're hilarious, so it's hard to know when you're sort of trapped in this bubble doing the show, and we're cracking each other up and all that, and then you see the finished products of a lot of these things, and like the paintball episode, that was one of those, especially that, because I wasn't actually on set for a lot of that. My character got taken out pretty early, sadly.
But you got the reveal out of the garbage can.
So it was all worth it. It's true. Yeah. It was a good moment. But you see them come together, and a lot of the time I'm just like so proud on behalf of the show and the crew and everybody at how they turn out.
It's always a great feeling.
It is an amazing feeling to work on, because it doesn't, I've been doing this for a long time. I can't say I've been proud of everything I've worked on. And it is a much different feeling when you kind of walk to work with your chest out, your head held high, you're excited. And you're not, when people say, what do? You go, I'm on this show.
Yeah.
You don't have to go, well, I just, you know.
I do this thing sometimes. I don't.
Alison Brie, I'm going to say you're kind of the Jackal of Hollywood in the sense of, like, you, it's kind of like, these are two shows.
Did you say that?
No, it's awesome. It's awesome. It means you're badass. Like, these are these two shows where you're just kind of brought in as this is kind of like, well, maybe she'll just do one episode. And then, bam, you're an integrated cast member.
Thanks. Like Ben Linus.
I kind of grow on people. Oh, my God. Right? And he's so great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a compliment. This Jackal thing. No, I'm kidding. I'm excited about it.
No. Also, you're going to start being on this podcast every week. You're going
to
take over this podcast.
I'm just adding it. I'm just trying to do comedy, drama, internet.
Yeah.
Comedy, drama, internet.
That's the third mask that they've added to the...
It's the old Apple computer face. The old Mac. The classic Mac computer face. Yeah.
Someone make that, please. Someone make the third comedy, drama, internet.
Internet. The internet.
True. That's good.
Technically, the internet is only the network of computers that make the web available. The web is just a series of apps. Do you want to wake up?
Sorry. Right.
Hey, by the way, Matt, can you help me? No, never mind.
Right. I'll fix it. I'll fix it
later. So where can so you have this Twitter stream at Allison Bree with one L?
Yeah, what the one L? It's very confusing.
And then do you have a web? Do you have a web?
No, I'm working on it.
You've been doing stuff for Funny or Die too, though, right?
Yeah, I did a Funny or Die video with Rich Summer and with Catherine Justin, who's on Desperate Housewives. She's like the pesky neighbor.
Can I just take a second and say Rich Summer? Awesome.
Yes.
So awesome.
He's going to be on the podcast.
He's so cool. Funny. Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. He's a white male, so it'll be
perfect. Well, then he should be Spider-Man.
I want to see Rich Summer as Spider-Man.
Rich Summer for Spider-Man. Start the campaign now. Anyway, no, I don't know when it's going to be up, but it should be up sometime. Awesome. Sometime soon. Cool. And yeah, you can see me. I don't know when this goes up, but you can see me at iOS down. Thursday or Wednesday. I can't promote that. I don't even know when it is.
This will go up. I'll probably put this up tomorrow or the next day.
All right.
Get it right
I like
away.
That speedy turnaround.
Yeah. It doesn't always happen that way.
Nice.
But it's important.
It's not like a Mad Men where we just sit on it forever.
Oh, that was kind of. What are you upset about?
Sorry.
What are you upset about? Just sorry.
Guys, I think we all
listen,
got
Listen, Matt's a little cranky because Dave Matthews' band isn't touring in 2011. And
it's
going to
be a rough year.
There was people like a mess.
There's not a cork big enough to fill the hole in his heart.
There was people leaving comments on the Nerdist site saying, hey, no, I know. It's always been a tradition for us to go. I know how you feel, Matt.
There are more of us than just me.
What are we not going to do for those couple of days now?
I don't know.
Well, you see, it's no turn.
I'll go see the Vampire Weekend or something. They're like the Clash.
What music do you like? What kind of music do you like?
I like Vampire Weekend. I like Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah, see?
I'm just being supportive. Lately, I've been... I do like them.
You don't
I do
really?
Like... I was listening to Vampire Weekend earlier today.
All right.
It's good summertime music, that Vampire Weekend.
It really is.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you heard any of Donald Glover's music? His
Childish Gambino. Yes.
Childish Gambino.
I've not.
It's good.
So good. And I feel like through that... I've been listening to that a lot. And then I've been listening to a lot of the indie bands that he'll rap over for his I'm Just a Rapper album. So
yeah.
Like Sleigh Bells and Animal Collective and Grizzly Bear. And I all have to attribute this to Donald because I wouldn't have found it on my own.
Yeah, he's got great cadence. The tone of his voice is awesome. It's almost kind of like a fun, nerdier, like Lil Wayne at times.
Yeah.
Because he does kind of have a higher pitched voice when he raps. And it's just, I think it's great. Yeah.
He's got great
rhymes.
It's
funny. And yeah.
He's going to pop. Donald Glover's going to pop.
He is. He's so great.
Yeah, he's great.
But he also has great taste, is my point. You should have him on the show.
He'll be our first black guy.
A little,
I'm trying to get him on the Meltdown comedy show.
Let's get him on that too.
Yeah. Let's have him on as Spider-Man and just like
that's a great idea.
And just have him, and we'll just talk to him as Peter Parker.
It's at the back of a comic book store. It's perfect.
That's fantastic.
Should do it.
I've been listening. I just discovered this guy called Jim Noir, who is awesome.
Ooh. I've heard Jim Noir. Yeah,
awesome. It's his movies. I'll his music is all kind of 60s pop sounding.
Oh, cool.
It's awesome.
I like that. I always appreciate good music recommendations. I'm not very proactive in searching out new music. It has to kind of come to me, or I'll find those people, like key people like Donald, who I know that I like their same taste. And Donald's always like, I don't know, the music I like is kind of out there. And I'm like, I like it too. I'm weird, like,
yeah, man.
You can't get rid of me.
Let's just hop on the back of a motorcycle and ride into forever.
It's true.
While listening to Broken Bells, just you and me.
Mercer and Danger Mouse. Allison Brie, you are delightful.
Aww.
And it was
and enjoy.
I left out the article. I was going to say a delight, but then I said you are delight. Words
like
not
Sunny
used
D.
well from my mouth.
She's actually delight.
Have that effect.
You're delight.
Yeah.
Got some purple stuff, some cola, some Sunny D.
Oh shit.
Hey, I'm curious. Where's Groove? It's in the heart. a redneck mimosa is Bud Light and Sunny D.
Ooh.
You mix those two together.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too terrible.
Terrible. All right.
Sunday afternoon delight.
Just sitting on the porch drinking
afternoon
some redneck
delight.
Mimosas.
Yep.
Shooting
with a pellet gun.
Yeah.
I'm glad we both went to guns first.
It's good job, guys.
America.
America. So I do want to say that since this will go up in time, that Thursday, June 10th, we're going to be doing our live Nerdist podcast at Largo in Los Angeles with our special guest, Craig Ferguson.
Oh, question.
All of the online tickets have been sold, but you can still call Largo at 310-855-0350.
You pay $5 for waiting so long. Extra. $25 now.
Now, why would you tell them that? Now you're trying to convince people not to go.
They're going to go.
Don't berate me.
Wait, if I want to go, do what I have to pay extra, or do I get a discount because I've been on?
You get a motherfucking free ticket.
Yeah. Whoa! Allison, in your face,
and I have to pay $30.
Yeah, we have to pay to be on the podcast.
Yes.
You're literally paying for me.
Well, this show is like a bringer show for you guys.
Oh, you can come, but
it's like the band has to pay to play at the Roxy.
Cool, I'm
there.
We're
playing at the Roxy for $500. But we just added, I didn't tell you guys this yet, but we just added as a musical guest Sarah Watkins, who was in Nickel Creek.
Yes.
And the Watkins family. She's awesome.
Nickel Creek has one of my favorite cover songs of all time. They do Pavement's Spit on a Stranger. It's one of the best cover songs I've ever heard in my life.
Loves his Pavement.
I love my Pavement.
You sure do.
Going 3 weeks up.
Driving north.
To go see Pavement.
Are you really?
Yeah, yeah. I've never seen
them. So that's
your
Dave Matthews.
They never came to Hawaii.
Then he's going to the Hollywood Bowl to see them.
I've never been able to see them live.
Mm-hmm. What does that have to do with Hawaii?
That's Jonah grew up. Jonah's Hawaiian.
Yeah, I was born.
They never came to Hawaii, so obviously.
Yeah, well,
since I live in Los Angeles,
this fucking coconut juggling poi hopper over here.
They broke up in '99. I moved out here in 2001.
Oh,
so,
I'm sorry, I didn't know. I didn't,
no, it's okay.
Yeah, you and the rest of the grass skirts go back to Hawaii.
I gotta go Google you now, and then next time we hang out, it'll be really awesome.
This podcast is for contiguous Americans.
You son of a bitch.
Sorry.
Maokau air.
Settle down, boys.
Hey, why don't you get some more letters?
We only have 13.
We need 13 more. All right, Allison Bree, thank you so much.
Thanks for having
awesome.
Me.
And you are welcome back anytime.
So great to
Even
be here.
Even if you're not
here.
The guest, you can just come by and pop on.
Cool.
As a recurring.
Hang out with Janet and Janet.
That's what I like to do.
Yeah, my girlfriend Janet, my dog Janet.
The Janets.
Yeah. Gonna go over to Chris's house, hang out with Chris and the Janets.
Hang out with the Janets? Yeah. Awesome.
Great. Sounds good.
The end.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Rhea Seehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.